The recording has started.
Good morning. This is Brother Ron, and I'll be giving the message now. But first, I want to say hello to all the Vista Church family and all who are listening. I know we have people here that are representing people all across the United States and probably outside of the United States. And it is a blessing for me to be able to speak to you now. You know, this pandemic that's been brought on the last couple of months, it's not a good thing. It's changed our lives. It's changed what's going on in the world. But in some ways, it has been a blessing to me and my family. You see, I always have gone on Sabbath. I've prepared. I've gone to church, maybe stayed for potluck and came home. Maybe went out fellowshipping after the service. Now that we're in our house, we have the means to look at sermons and look at Sabbath school presentations from all over the United States. This is going to be our second sermon this morning in our house. And we're truly blessed that we can learn from people all over the United States, all over the world, about God. Today, it's a special blessing, as I said, to be able to speak to my friends at the Vista Church, especially about the friend for all of us. You know, friends are really important and a wonderful part of this life. It enriches our life. It stabilizes our life. It gives us a sense of grounding when we have friends that we can count on, that we can rely on, that we can talk to, especially now as we're going through some difficult and perplexing times, to be able to reach out. And I've heard several people say that they were able to call people that they normally wouldn't have. Praise God that we can reach out to them and, you know, reestablish those friendship relationships. But as important as all those people are here, the most critical, important, influencing friend that we can ever have is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to be talking about that this morning, but before we do, I'd like to say a word of prayer before we open up the Word. Father, as we come to you now, as we open your Word, we ask that you would give us eyes to see what you have put in your Word. I pray that your Holy Spirit will teach us, guide us into the truth that's in your Word. I pray that there will be so much relevancy in this that we can see for our own personal lives. Let us incorporate what we learn into the very fabric of our being. In this we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'd like to start the message this morning with a story. I don't know if it's true, but I'll share it with you. There is an old recluse who lived deep in the mountains, probably in Colorado. But when he died, his distant relatives came from the city to collect his valuables. When they arrived, all they saw was an old dilapidated shack with an outhouse sitting beside it. They walked in and into the shack, and next to a rock fireplace was an old cooking pot where he made his meals. And then in the corner was his mining equipment. There was a cracked table, a three-legged stool, right by the one tiny window, and a kerosene lamp served as the only illumination in the shack. In a dark corner of the room, there was a dilapidated old cot with an old threadbare bedroll that was on it. The family looked around, and they picked up some of the old relics and started to leave. And as they were driving away, as they were starting to leave, an old friend of the recluse on his mule flagged them down. He said, "Do you mind if I go up and help myself to what's left in my friend's cabin?" They thought about it and said, "Go right ahead." After all, they thought, what inside that shack could be worth anything? The old friend entered into the shack and walked directly over the table. He reached under it, lifted one of the floorboards, and proceeded to take out all the gold that his friend had discovered over the past 53 years, enough to build a palace on a large plot of land. The recluse died with only his friend knowing his true worth. As a friend looked out of the little window and he could see the cloud of dust behind the relative's car finally settling, he thought, they should have gotten to know him better. I wonder today, as we reflect on our relationship with God on this Sabbath day, as we consider the Lamb, Jesus Christ, who suffered and died a criminal's death so many years ago, whether we too know our friend well enough. There's a few points that I'm going to make in this message this morning I'd like to like you to listen for and take away. First, what is required to be Jesus' friend? Why should we want to be Jesus' friend? And finally, how can we direct our lives to be Jesus' friend today? Now, before we jump deep into the message, we need to get a better understanding of what it means to say that we are friends of Jesus. Webster has a definition of friend as a person whom one knows and with whom one has a bond of mutual affection. Another definition is one attached to another by affection and esteem. Does this define our relationship with Jesus? Can we say that Jesus is a person we know, a person we have a bond of mutual affection with, a person that we are tied to, we are attached to by affection and esteem? Now, before we talk more about Jesus as our friend, there is a little caution about calling Jesus our friend. You know, in the Bible, Jesus calls certain people his friends. God in the Old Testament called some of the patriarchs his friends. But no human in the Bible ever refers to Jesus as their friend. It's not a reciprocal relationship. Abraham and Moses are called friends of God. The apostles, as we heard in our scripture this morning, Jesus calls them his friends. We must not make the error of flippantly calling Jesus a pal, a buddy, a chum, as though our relationship is trivial. Even though Jesus has called us his friends, he is the king of the universe, the ruler of everything. And this is one of those paradoxes. How can Jesus be both our king and our friend? We must remember that being his friend does not take away from his kingship. And his position as king does not take away from his ability to call us his friends. His unfathomable grace is what makes this possible. And we will probably be wondering about this throughout eternity. So the question I would like to ask, like all of us to ask today, is, would Jesus call you his friend? Now, what is required to be Jesus' friend? If you have not opened up your Bible, if you don't have your Bible open to John 15, where the scripture was this morning, I encourage you to go to that right now. Let's go to John 15. And the scripture started in verse 12. I'm going to read 12 and 13 right now. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The first requirement of being Jesus' friend is friends of Jesus love one another. This theme is reiterated many times in the New Testament. And in fact, just a couple of chapters before, in John 13, verses 34 and 35, almost the same words. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now, John 12 starts out with Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. John 13 talks about the Last Supper and includes foot washing, and it has this scripture in it. John 15, which is the scripture that we used at the for this message, is later on that night. So he gives both of these commandments. He reiterates them on the same night, emphasizing his message. Why would Jesus do this twice in a row on the same night? Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes it takes a while for things to get into my mind. And Jesus, the master teacher, wanted his apostles, wanted his disciples to know that this is a very important thing. It's one of the last things he told the disciples before his death on the cross. So how are we to love Jesus? Well, this is the tough part. If you read those two scriptures, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." How are we to love one another? As Jesus loves us. I don't know about you, but sometimes that seems like a very big task for me. Wouldn't it be easy just to love our friends, to love our family? But Jesus went way beyond that. Even as he was dying on the cross, he asked for forgiveness for those who put him up there. This is the type of love that Jesus wants us to be an example of here on this earth. This is the type of person that Jesus is looking for to call his friend. The second characteristic of a friend of Jesus is that true friends of Jesus will obey him. In verse 14, it says, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Now, this is echoing just a few verses before in verse 10, where Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." There's an aspect of obeying him in all of these, in both of these verses, to be his friend. And certainly, if you turn it over, if you're not obeying him, then you have no right to claim that you are his friend. God is looking for consistency, regularity in your life. If you're really a friend of Jesus, that you will obey him. Now, I know that sin often comes up and takes us away from that obedience, no matter how much we want to do on it. But the great thing is that Jesus will be there ready to forgive us if we ask him. 1 John 1:9. So consider your relations to people on earth. Would you consider someone a friend if they continually said one thing and then did another? Jesus wants us to obey him on all things. But more than just obeying, Jesus requires active obedience. If you look at the Ten Commandments, some people think it's enough merely to avoid doing what God forbids. They might say, "I'm not a thief, I'm not an adulterer, I'm not an alcoholic, so I must be your friend." That would be like someone saying, "I'm your friend because I don't rob you, cheat you, or beat you up." Now, if you said that to someone, I'm sure they'd appreciate the fact that you don't do those things. But to be their friend, you have to go more, go further, do a little bit more than just that. It's not just a matter of refusing to do the wrong things. It's also a matter of doing the right things at the right time. This is what God wants. This is what it means to be his friend. And I know I've spoken about obedience. And I don't want anybody to be confused that just by obeying God, by doing it out of a sense of duty, that we become his friends. Obedience should come out of desire to do what Jesus wants us to do. We don't say, "Oh, I have to read the Bible again because Jesus said I should." Or, "Oh, it's time for prayer. Everybody gather around. Jesus said we should pray." When Jesus is your friend, you look forward to those times. You look forward to Bible study. You look forward to prayer. You look forward to your time that you can spend with him just like friends here on earth, but even more so. We obey him not because we're directed to, in order to win favor through his works, through our works, but because we want to. We want to show him of the time we want to spend with him and the things we want to do for him. Lastly, friends of Jesus are chosen to bear fruit that remains. In verse 16, it says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Well, the first point is that friends of Jesus are chosen by him. Now, this doesn't mean that Jesus selects individuals for salvation or to be his friend individually or specifically. But the fact is that Jesus has chosen all of us to be his friend. You know, I grew up in Texas, and there is a difference between three idioms there. You can say you can say y'all, or you can say all y'all. You means a specific person that you're talking to. Y'all means a group of people. But if someone says all y'all, that means everybody that I can see, everybody that I can talk to. I think Jesus was using all y'all in this verse. He's talking to all of us. He has chosen all of us to be his friend. Unfortunately, some of us choose not to be his friend. If someone does not want to be a friend to us, there's no relationship. Similarly, if someone turns their back on Jesus, that relationship will be severed. And the next point is friends of Jesus are chosen to bear fruit that remains. Now, what fruits are we talking about? What happens? I mean, the first fruits that I think of are the fruits of the Spirit, but this is not what Jesus is talking about here. Those fruits don't remain. When someone dies, those gifts that are given to that saint go away. So what are the fruits that remain? The fruits that remain are the jewels that we win for God. They're the people, the souls, the individuals that we can bring to Jesus. These are the fruits that remain. Now, all of us are here listening on Sabbath morning as a result of what someone else said or did. One of the things that they said or did bore fruit in your life, in my life. If I think about my own personal life, the pastor who baptized me is now in his rest. He baptized many people, and the fruits of his work go on long after he has passed away. Those are the fruits we're talking about. These are the fruits that Jesus wants us to bear, the fruits that remain. Now, why should we become Jesus' friend? First, it's because he desires us to be his friend. In John 15:15, if you notice, I skipped over that verse. Coming back to that, it says, "Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Just think about that. He is calling us friends. To be called even a servant to the Creator of the universe would be a huge privilege. But he goes farther and calls us friends. The writer of Psalms 84 knew this well. He says, "I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Jesus is calling us as his friends. And then the comment he makes about knowing about all things he's heard from the Father, he's made known unto us, is backed up by his actions and his deeds. Jesus revealed the Father's will to us through his actions when he was on earth. The Holy Spirit reveals the Father and his character every day, and the scriptures were given to us and preserved so that we can know more about him. And finally, of course, the cross proves his friendship. When you think that Jesus could have gotten down anytime he wanted, but he stayed there and he died for us at a time when no one wanted to be with him. Verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus spoke those words the day before he would be dying. And what a friend we can have with Jesus. Ellen White wrote in Christ Objects Lessons, whatever may be our situation, we have a guide to direct our way. Whatever our perplexities, we have a sure counselor. Whatever our sorrow, bereavement, or loneliness, we have a sympathizing friend. And if in our ignorance we make some mistakes, Christ does not leave us. His voice, clear and distinct, is heard saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is our sure guide. He is our sure counselor. He is our deliverer. He is our sympathizing friend, and he will never leave us. Why should we want to be his friend? Finally, because of what he did for us when we did not even know him. In Romans chapter 5, verse 7, it says, for scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. We see this around us sometimes, how sometimes someone will give up their life for somebody else. But in Romans, it goes further. It says, verse 8, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the friend that is wanting to be a friend with us. So now that we've decided we want to become Jesus' friend, how do we cultivate that relationship? Well, first, before you do anything, recognize him for what he is and what he has done for us. When we truly realize what he is and what he has done, we will want to be near him. In John 1, in verses 3 and 4, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus, the one who wants to be friends with us, is the creator of everything. He's the creator of life, and he sustains us each and every day. When we realize this, we will want to be closer to him. And secondly, as with all relationships, we must communicate. First, remember, read, hear his word through the scripture. Spend time with it so that you can hear his voice. And then pray. Spend time talking with our Lord. Thank him for everything that he's given us. Confess. Petition him for things. Share with him everything in your life that's going on day by day. You know, I used to think that Jesus was not interested when I went to work in my dealings with other software engineers. And then so many times, I see him step in during a difficult meeting or difficult conversation, and I just have to thank him for it. Finally, we need to build our friendship through obedience. When we ask him into our lives, his companionship is constant. We can obey him closer, more, because he is with us. He is next to us. And as we rely on his presence in our life, this can be a deterrent to sin and an encouragement to others. We can obey him more thoroughly and more closely as we grow with him each and every day. So what difference does it really make? If we know that Jesus wants to be our friend, we've gone over a little bit on how to approach this, but how do we really apply this in our lives today? First of all, start loving others as he loved us, as it says in the scriptures, as he loved us first. What does this mean to start loving each other? There's a story of a man named Martin of Tours. Martin was a Roman soldier in about the year 350. He was also a Christian. One cold winter day, he was entering a city in France. Now, Martin, as I said, was a soldier. He was not a very high-ranking soldier. He did not have a lot of money, but a beggar stopped him and asked him for alms. Martin had no money, but the beggar was so cold, he was almost blue. He was shivering with cold. And Martin gave him what he had. He took off his soldier's coat, ragged and worn and frayed, and cut it in the middle and gave half to the beggar. Now, the story is told that that night, as he went to sleep, he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw heaven. He saw all the angels and Jesus in the midst of them. And Jesus was wearing half of a soldier's cloak. One of the angels said to Jesus, "Master, why are you wearing that scraggly coat?" And Jesus replied, "This was given to me by my friend." Now, I'm not saying that we need to give away all our earthly possessions. If God asks you to do it, like he did the rich young ruler, you might want to consider it. However, I'm suggesting that we open our hearts to the situations all around us. It's certainly true that things are different now. People are isolated. People might not have access to things like, you know, grocery stores. They might not be able to go out. Open your eyes, open your hearts so that we can help them out. This is the start of the love that Jesus wants us to show. Then we should start treating others as Jesus treated everyone, to show them that you care for them. You know, in the scriptures, no one that ever came to Jesus was turned away by him. In fact, he encouraged people to come to him, and that's certainly the case now. During times like this, we need to show that same empathy to others all around us. Call people up. Talk to them. Don't just email, but talk to them. Send a card. Not an email. Send a real card. Let them know that you're thinking about them, you're available to help them, and that you care for them. Finally, pray for those people. Pray for your friends. Pray for people that you don't know. Proverbs 18:24, it says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Recently in my messages, I've taken to giving a little homework out. And so I want to give homework out in this message too. Today, take extra time to reflect that you are Jesus' friend. And then in the next 2 weeks, every day that you get up, first pray that you can be a better friend to Jesus through your love and your obedience. Ask him to show you what to do to be a better friend to him and to those around us. Then try at least once a day to show Jesus' love to someone else. Write down what you do. Then after 2 weeks, examine what you wrote down. Examine your relationships with the people that you just wrote down and see how the Holy Spirit has intervened in those relationships and in those lives of those people. In summary, you can finish the Sabbath day with the best friend you have ever had, the best friend you will ever have. I started this message by asking if Jesus would call you his friend today. If you can already claim to be Jesus' friend, praise God. Praise him for that. But if you cannot make that claim, if you're not sure about that claim, then it's easy to do so. Just ask God to be in your life right now. In a few minutes, we're going to be having the hymn of affirmation. While that's going on, if you can't claim that Jesus is your friend, spend just a few seconds asking Jesus what you can do to be his friend today. I've already outlined what you need to do to cultivate that relationship. Pray, communicate. It's up to you now. It's up to all of us now. And I pray to God that all of us will be able to say that we are Jesus' friends. Because one day he is coming back and he's going to call all of us, all of his friends, to be with him forever. And we'll be able to meet together and talk about all the things that Jesus did for us because of that friendship. I want to be there. And I want all of you to be there as well, as friends of Jesus. Amen.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. This is John and Donya Tayag. It is now time for a hymn of affirmation. Please turn to hymn number 476, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary.
Days are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
This is Brother Ron, and I'll be doing the benediction now. You know, one of my favorite quotes that is not in the Bible is by Albert Einstein. He said, there are only two ways to live your life. One is though nothing is a miracle, and the other is though everything is a miracle. If we're Jesus' friends, he will give us new eyes, new ears, new understanding of everything around us, and we will perceive all life, all creation, as the miracle that God made to give to us. Christ's death and resurrection offers every one of us the opportunity for salvation so that we can perceive these miracles. If you have not accepted him, if you have not accepted him as your friend, do this today. You must become a friend of Jesus. Please bow your head. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for giving us the Sabbath day. Thank you for your friendship that you offer to us. And I pray that everyone here, everyone that can hear me, will grab hold of that and hold tight. Hold tight to your friendship until we see you coming again. And now, as we leave, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance unto thee and give you his peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This session.